listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. Last show we were looking at the debate maker as a form of multiplier. What do they do? Number one, frame the issue. Our research shows that debate makers know that the secret sauce of a great debate is what they do before the debate actually begins. They prepare the organization for debates by forming the right questions and the right team and framing the issues and process in a way that that everyone can contribute. The process is broken down as follows. First of all, defining the question. Tim Brown, the chief executive and president of IDEO, the famously innovative global design consultancy firm, said, quote, "As leaders, probably the most important role we can play is asking the right questions and focusing on the right problems. It's very easy in business to get sucked into being reactive to the problems and questions that are right in front of you. It doesn't matter how creative you are as a leader. It doesn't matter how good the answers you come up with are. If you're focusing on the wrong questions, you're not really providing the leadership you should." Unquote. Multipliers use their own know-how to shape the way people look at issues. They have the ability to frame the questions in a way that no one else would have thought about. They shift through a variety of factors to identify the right issues and spend time formulating the right questions. Some of the questions you can ask include the following. Unearth and challenge the assumption that entrenched the organization in old patterns and thinking. Surface the fundamental tensions and trade-offs to be considered in a decision. Force people to examine the facts and confront reality. Ensure multiple perspectives on an issue. As Tim Brown said, quote, "The right questions aren't just kind of lying around on the ground to be picked up and asked." Unquote. The work of the multiplier is to find the right issue and formulate the right questions so others can then find answers. Next step, form the team. Multipliers ensure a great debate by having the right people in the debate. Potential candidates for the great debate include those with knowledge or insight needed to inform the issue, key stakeholders for the decision, those with responsibility for driving the outcome of the decision. Next step, assemble the data. Multipliers identify the decision critical data that needs to be gathered and analyzed prior to the debate. They ask others to come to the debate armed with relevant information so they can be prepared to contribute. When Tim Cook, the COO of Apple Incorporated, assembles a team to debate an important business decision, the team knows that they are expected to gather and thoroughly analyze the data in advance. Tim's team understands that when they offer their opinions, these opinions need to be informed by fact, not anecdote. One member of Tim's management team is known for bringing in a box of extra backup data with him to all of these debates, just in case. Next step, frame the decision. In preparation for the meeting itself, debate makers defined what needs to be addressed, why it is important, how the final decision is expected to be made. The what. Multipliers explicitly state what question needs to be addressed. The why. They shed light on what is happening in the environment that is prompting the need for the debate, and they lay out stakes involved. The how. Multipliers take time up front to clarify the decision-making process and establish roles, including their own. They answer questions such as, for example, how long will we have to make the decision? Who will recommend? Who will decide? As a result of properly framing the issues, every person knows what is at stake, what is expected of them, and the level of honesty and rigor that will be required of the group as a whole. In illustrating how debate makers frame the issues, let's return to Lutz at Microsoft. Recently, Lutz needed to make a tough budget cut decision, so he pulled his lieutenants together for a debate on the issue. According to a member of his management team, he teed up the issue and set the context for the meeting. We are here to answer a tough question. What is the best way to take 20% out of our budget? He went on to explain the need for action. He was fully transparent. He didn't hoard information. He just shared openly that headquarters had requested a certain amount of budget back and why. Then he outlined the process. Each person needed to explain where the money should be taken out of the organization and why. Once it is debated fully, he would make the final decision. They debated for more than 2 hours, during which time he played the role of facilitator, ensuring that each member of his team debated the issues rigorously. When a decision is high stakes, debate makers require everyone's best thinking. They know people will do their best thinking if the issues are framed well and defined and the questions of the debate are clear. They know that the debate will be richest if it is based on facts, not opinions, and that it takes foresight to gather the right information. Because they take time to prepare and frame the issues, multipliers are able to leverage more capability from their people than their diminisher counterparts. Multipliers ensure people don't waste their brain power and enthusiasm spinning on tangential issues. By framing the debate in terms of key questions within clear context, they're able to foster motivation and readiness and help elicit 100% from their people. Multipliers love debate, but they debate with a purpose. They know what they want out of the debate and they want out of the people involved. Multipliers aren't just debaters, they are debate makers. Next step, spark the debate. After framing the issue, multipliers spark the debate. Though all of our research and coaching work with executives, we've observed four elements of a great debate. A great debate is, one, engaging. The question is compelling and important to everyone in attendance. Two, comprehensive. The right information is shared to generate a holistic and collective understanding of all the issues at hand. Three, fact-based. The debate is deeply rooted in fact, not opinion. Four, educational. People leave the debate more focused on what they have learned than on who won or lost. How do you lead this type of debate? There are two elements that couple to form the yin and yang of a great debate. The first is to create safety. The second is to demand rigor. Multipliers do both. The yin, create safety for best thinking. How do multipliers create a safe climate for people's best thinking? They do it by removing fear. They remove the factors that cause people to doubt themselves or their ideas, and the fear that causes people to hold back. One senior manager we interviewed told us about his current boss. Amit has strong opinions, but he lets the discussion happen before he expresses that opinion. And further, you know where you stand with Amit. He maintains a balance of respect, but is also brutally honest if something doesn't make sense. I've never gotten into trouble telling my manager exactly what I think. Another executive we've worked with knew that she had a reputation for being smart and strong-willed, and she could be intimidating. A direct report has noticed a recent change in her. When the group is debating an issue, Jennifer makes it a point to hold her views until the very end. She gives a chance to each member of her executive team to express his or her views before she adds her own. Multipliers create safety, but they also create pressure for reality-based rigorous debate. Multipliers make sure everyone is wearing a seatbelt because they are about to put their foot on the accelerator. The yang. Demanding rigor. How do multipliers demand rigor? They ask the question that challenges conventional thinking. They ask the questions that unearth the assumptions that are holding the organization back. They ask the questions that cause the team to think harder and to dig deeper. They ask for evidence. They aren't overly swayed by opinion and emotional arguments. They continue to ask for evidence that would confirm a given point of view. And they ask for evidence that might suggest an alternate point of view. They pursue all sides of an issue. When a group moves too quickly towards an agreement, multipliers often step back and ask someone to argue the other point of view. Or they might take the argument themselves. They make sure all the rocks are turned over. When the senior management team of a European online distribution company met to discuss whether to add a new feature to their online store, there was strong support for the idea among the team. But the CEO wasn't satisfied with intuition and wanted to drive more rigor into their collective thinking. He asked the senior executive team whether the new feature would actually drive higher sales. At first, there were opinions, but the CEO wanted data and wanted to know what the facts proved. The executive team began to dig into these facts in a summary analysis. Again, the CEO dug deeper. He asked the group to go country by country, pouring over the data to look for an answer to the questions. One executive who was present said, "Nobody got away with their own opinions." The group wrestled with the issue until they finally concluded that they didn't have enough information yet to make a clear decision on this issue, and they identified what additional data they would need. This company leader kept the debate going by demanding rigor and sound decision-making. According to one of his management team members, Jim Barksdale, former CEO of Netscape, was well known for saying, quote, "If you don't have any facts, we'll just use my opinion." Sue Sigel, the president of Affymetrics, led the company through a moment of truth decision in 2001 by using the power of facts and openness to harness the full brain power of the organization. Affymetrics produces microwave technologies that allowed scientists to analyze complex genetic information. The company had been public for 3 years and had grown steadily to 800 employees. Sue received some troubling news from customers that there were some problems with the gene clip microarrays that could potentially render inaccurate results, but only for minor portions of its applications. As president, she would have to make one of the toughest decisions that the company would face in the next several years. Should they recall the product? Sue was herself a veteran executive of the life sciences industry and had deep knowledge of the underlying technology and issues. But instead of relying solely on her own understanding of the situation, she went beyond the management hierarchy and reached deep into the organizational data and for insight. She went straight to the people who understood the issues and let them know she needed their input. She then convened a larger forum of several layers of management. She framed the magnitude of the issue and the potential impact to the company. She laid out a couple of scenarios and then began asking questions. She ensured that the group that threw the decision, they look at the decision from every angle. For example, quote, what is the impact on our customers? What is our legal obligation? What is the financial impact? Sue asked for data and their recommendations. The group then debated for 2 arduous days. After several debates, she asked the management team to weigh in and then made a decision to recall the product. The next day, Sue boarded a plane to present at the Goldman Sachs Financial Conference in Laguna Niguel, attended by over 1,000 analysts, shareholders, and industry experts, and to tell them about their mistake and about their decision. The product recall was a financial setback for the young organization, adversely impacting market cap for 2 quarters and sending it from Wall Street darling to leper overnight. However, with the company staff behind the decision, they were able to execute the decision with conviction and explain it to their customers and to the market. This allowed them to rebound quickly and regain their previous market position and even exceed their original market cap. In fact, the product recall became a turning point in building deep customer relationships and respect for employee input that would become the hallmark of this particular company. In 4 years that Sue led the company following the product recall, Affirmetrics continued to grow sales and to beat expectations for both revenue and earnings. Segal led this organization successfully to one of its toughest decisions because instead of turning inwards, she turned outwards and utilized the full intelligence of the organization to make a decision that was grounded in full disclosure, in fact, in the best interests of their customers. The following chart summarizes some of the practices debate makers use to create safety while also demanding rigor. Create safety for best thinking, the yin. They share their view last after hearing other people's views first. They encourage others to take an opposing stand. They encourage all points of view. They focus on the facts. They depersonalize the issues and keep it unemotional. They look behind the organizational hierarchy and the various ancient job titles. Demand. Now, the yang part of this is demanding rigor, as opposed to the yin, which is creating safety for best thinking. So in demanding rigor, type of thinking that will produce the following points, and ask the hard questions, challenge the underlying assumptions, look for evidence in the data, attack the issues, not the people, ask why repeatedly until the root cause is unearned. Equally, debate both sides of the issue.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenari, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman with a foreword by Stephen Covey. We're looking at multipliers, the different type of multipliers. We're now looking at the debate maker. Third, drive a sound decision. Multipliers may really enjoy and relish a great debate, but they pursue debate with a clear end in mind, a sound decision. They ensure this in three ways. First, they reclarify the decision-making process. Second, they make the decision or explicitly delegate it to someone else to decide. And third, they communicate the decision and the rationale behind it. Reclarifying the decision-making process. After the issue has been debated, multipliers let people know the next step in the decision-making process. They summarize the key issues and outcomes of the debate. They let people know what to expect next. They address such questions as, are we making the decision right now, or do we need more information? Is this a team decision, or will it be the leader making the final call? If it is a team decision, how will we resolve any differing views? Has anything that has surfaced in the debate altered the decision-making process? One executive we studied was strong on closure. Quote, Allison says who is going to make the next decision and when. People aren't left in limbo wondering how is the decision going to be made, unquote. Multipliers let people know what will be done with their thinking and their work. With this sense of closure, people around them are assured that their discretionary effort won't be wasted, and they're likely to give 100% the next time. In this way, multipliers get full contribution not just once, but over and over again. Next step, make the decision. Although multipliers know how to generate and leverage collective thinking, they're not necessarily consensus-oriented leaders. At times, they may seek the full consensus of the group. However, research shows that they're equally comfortable making the final decision. One manager responsible for emerging markets within a global technology firm said of the leader, Chris prefers collective decisions and consensus, but he's practical and he'll either make the final decision for speed or defer to someone else because it is clearly within that person's domain. Next step, communicate the decisions and rationale. One of the benefits of purposeful, rigorous debate is the business case and momentum it builds to execute the decision. As people debate an issue thoroughly, they develop a deep understanding of the underlying problems and opportunities and the imperatives for change. They put their fingerprint on the decision. Because they've achieved a collective understanding, they're capable of executing collectively. LUTs often held his organizational debates in a conference room they came to call the theater. The theater looked like any other conference room with a large conference table that key players sat at during the debates. However, the room had twice as many chairs set up around the perimeter of the room. The debates were open to anyone in the organization. Anyone interested in the issue could come and listen. The team called it the theater because it was like a surgical theater in a teaching hospital. As people watched these debates, they came to better understand the issues. When decisions were reached, there were people at all levels of the organization ready to execute. With the model of transparent decision-making, communicating the decision and the rationale is easy because the organization is already prepared to move forward. The theater not only helped employees in the organization understand and prepare and execute the decision at hand, they were also learning what was expected of them, and they were called to the table to debate on another issue. They were like medical students learning to perform surgery for the first time. But then in contrast, we're now going to look at the diminisher's approach to debate. Instead of looking out broadly into their organization for intelligence, diminishers tend to make decisions quickly, either based on their own opinions or with input from close inner circles. Then people began to spin and speculate and get distracted from enthusiastically carrying out the decisions. In sharp contrast to the theater of the executive above, one diminisher I worked with held meetings in his office in a two-circle format. Seated at a small round table that was equally small inner circle, who would discuss the issue and make the decisions. But around the periphery of the room was a collection of silent people standing and talking, taking notes. After participating in this strange meeting format, I couldn't help but ask one of the voiceless individuals standing out in the outer edge about the role of his silent body. She said, "Oh, we don't ever participate in these decisions, and we certainly don't get a seat at the table. We're just here to take notes, make some notes, so our SVP doesn't get a seat at the table. We're just here to take notes on our SVP and doesn't have to tell us what to do later." This was less of a surgical theater and more of a lecture auditorium. Instead of framing issues for debate and decisions, diminishers tend to raise issues abruptly, then dominate the discussion before forcing a decision. Rare issues. When a problem surfaces, diminishers often bring issues or decisions to people's attention, but they don't necessarily frame them in a way that allows others to easily contribute. The when or the why of a decision. Once CIO routinely raised a variety of distracting issues at his weekly staff meetings, one of his directors explains, once he came in and raised the issue ergonomically, and with sound keyboards, and then went on for about an hour. He is intense and intelligent, but all over the place. He makes a millimeter of progress, and it's in a million directions. So, we are going to continue to examine the book, Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. We're on the chapter of entitled Multipliers, and the subchapter is The Debate Makers. So we're going to continue examining this book in future shows, so please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby.